faithful man, described and rewarded by Increase Mather, 1639 to 1723. Increase Mather was an American Puritan pastor who was president of Harvard College. He is most well known for his involvement in the infamous Salem witch trials, in which he attempted to exert a moderating influence. The following sermon was preached at the funeral of Puritan pastor Michael Wigglesworth on June 24, 1705. Wigglesworth had been Mather's tutor while at Harvard in the early 1650s. Throughout his life, Wigglesworth was tormented by feelings of inadequacy and was ever mindful of his sinfulness. This kept his eyes readily fixed on the imputed righteousness of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. This text is the voice of our glorious commander, uttered from heaven unto us. Every follower of the Lord Jesus Christ upon earth is concerned to hear his voice. It is far-reaching, like the voice of the last trumpet, and it is unfortunate that it is not as powerful. The church at Smyrna was one of the seven to which our enthroned Lord most graciously directed the seven epistles. Those that look for a prophetic interpretation of the seven epistles as answering seven periods of time from our Lord's ascent to his return may help themselves through their hard task as well as they can. The historical interpretation suffices for the more judicious interpreters. Our Lord, in going to bid his beloved John to write the things which were to occur thereafter, bids him first to write concerning the things that were occurring at the present. Our Lord would, and how agreeable the method, first instruct, reprove, and reform his people before communicating unto them his divine and secret purposes. The Apostle John, who had been a preacher to the churches in Asia, now does the part of a writer to them. One of these churches was at Smyrna. Ecclesiastical history tells us that a horrid storm of persecution befell the church at Smyrna soon after our Lord had sent unto them these premonitions of it, a storm which was not assuaged until the martyrdom of that brave old man, their pastor Polycarp. A letter of that church, which has survived to our day, relates how cruelly the martyrs of Smyrna were tormented, and after all their torments, they were thrown to the wild beasts to be devoured. We find that these cruelties were pushed upon them by the envy and slander of the Jews, as well as by the savage fierceness of the Gentiles. Our Lord foretold, under the Christian Smyrnans, the coming of these trials upon them, so that he might fortify them for their trials. Behold, an encouragement, the most glorious, the most marvelous, the most engaging encouragement that ever was offered unto the children of men. Generals encourage their soldiers with the best they can do for them. Riches, if they live, honors, whether they live or die. But we belong to the armies of him whose name is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. No king or lord could ever encourage with such assurances as ours gives to us. We are animated now to overcome all discouragements in the conflicts of Christianity. A crown of life. Methinks it should be enough to overcome us and make us overcome all our difficulties. We have before us a doctrine to encourage us. a doctrine which may not only encourage us, but even astonish us. Our Lord Jesus Christ will most gloriously reward with a glorious crown of life those who faithfully adhere unto him and his interests as long as they live. There are two very noble subjects now to be discoursed upon, subjects that call for our most serious meditations and our most rapturous contemplations. The first is what our Lord Jesus Christ requires of us. The second is what our Lord Jesus Christ reserves for us. Roman numeral number 1. That which our Lord Jesus Christ has required of us is this, that we remain faithful to him and his interests as long as we live in this world. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is presupposed in those that walk in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is to be presupposed that we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and rely on him for wisdom, righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Our Lord Jesus Christ commands this: be not faithless, but believing. John chapter 20, verse 27. This is the reason that the people of God are so often called the faithful in the scriptures of God. The Spirit of God has wrought in them faith to receive the Lord Jesus Christ and his great salvation as it is tendered in the gospel. But there is also a faithfulness to the Lord Jesus Christ which must attend and assert our faith in him. This faithfulness is not so much faith as obedience. It is not our trust in him, it is our trustworthiness to him. It is what the Word of God calls good fidelity, Titus chapter 2, verse 10. Allegiance to the Lord Jesus Christ and perseverance in our allegiance is called for in this call: be thou faithful unto death. Number 1. He that would be a happy Christian must be a faithful Christian. And who is the faithful Christian? We will describe him. God grant that we may match the description. God grant the description and character may be our own. It very much belonged unto one that lately shone among us. A faithful Christian is the one who has the heart of a Christian as well as the name of a Christian. He is not merely diabetus nomine Christani, or superficially whitened with the name of a Christian, as Augustine expresses it. Of one, or of such a one, we read, thou foundest his heart faithful before thee. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 8. Faithfulness is opposed to falsehood. Every Christian professes himself to be a lover of the Lord Jesus Christ and a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. A faithful Christian is one that is not false in his profession. He loves the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is in sincerity. He serves the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is with a perfect heart and a willing mind. Those that are faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ can say, thy servants are true men. Genesis chapter 42, verse 11. A faithful Christian is one who is truly what he seems to be. And hence, it must be a stroke in the portrait painted of a faithful Christian that he practices what he professes. He will not say one thing and do another in the matters of religion. He is not one of those whom our Lord sets that black mark upon, they say and they do not. Matthew chapter 23, verse 3. We read in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 35, I will raise me up a faithful priest, and he shall do according to that which is in mine heart and in my mind. The faithful Christian is one to whom our Lord may say, well done, good and faithful servant. Matthew chapter 25, verse 21. And he is one to whom all may say, thou doest faithfully whatever thou doest. 3 John chapter 1, verse 5. The difference between a talker and a doer, the difference between talking well and doing well, this is the difference between the formal Christian and the faithful Christian. We will carry on the lovely representation. A faithful Christian is a Christian mindful of the obligations which are laid upon him to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no Christian that is not under many bonds and vows to glorify the Lord. The faithful Christian is one who does not forget the vows of God that are upon him. The study and language of the faithful Christian is that I will pay my vows unto the Lord. Psalm 116, verse 14. A Christian has entered into covenant with God. A faithful Christian is a covenant-keeping one. He is one who may say, Lord, I have not forgotten thee, nor have I dealt falsely in thy covenant. Psalm 44, verse 17. Having been washed in the baptism of the Lord, the faithful Christian resolves, let me now never defile myself with sin, from which I have been purified. Let me now always cleave to that God, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, unto whom I have been dedicated. Excuse me. Let me now carry on the wars of the Lord under the banners to which I have been enlisted. Having been sitting at the table of the Lord, the faithful Christian resolves, I am now under an oath to observe the law of my Lord Jesus Christ. I have taken the sacrament upon it, that the commandment of my Lord Jesus Christ shall always give awe and law unto me. I have sworn the death of my sin in order that my soul may live. Oh, my soul, how can you do so great a wickedness as to sin against God? Moreover, a faithful Christian is a Christian who is careful to make due improvement of the talents which the Lord Jesus Christ has committed unto him. A faithful servant is one who sticks to the business which his master has given him to do. Even such is the faithful Christian. And the Lord Jesus Christ is he of whom the faithful Christian says, he is my master. I remember that I am still accountable to him. There is no Christian that is not entrusted with talents by and for the Lord. Our opportunities to render or procure acknowledgments unto our Lord Jesus Christ. These are our talents. A faithful Christian is quite eager to recognize and use his precious opportunities, and that the Lord may have service from him in them all. Therefore, it is said of him that made a good use of his talents that he is a faithful servant. Matthew chapter 25, verse 21. The soul of a faithful Christian is mightily concerned upon it. He often thinks, what good may I do? What are my capacities to do good? How shall I do that good which God has made me capable of doing? How can I be most useful? Only inform him how he may be useful, and you need say no more. He will thank you for the information, and then thankfully and cheerfully set himself to do all the good that he can. Hence it follows that a faithful Christian is a Christian that labors to conduct himself well in the various relationships in which the Lord Jesus Christ has placed him. The place in which God sets a man is greatly to be considered by one that would be found a faithful man. Are we in public relations? We read of a preacher, let him speak my word faithfully. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 28. We read of a ruler. He was a faithful man and feared God above many. Nehemiah chapter 7. Verse 2. Are we in private relations? We read of children, that they must be faithful children. Titus chapter 1, verse 6. We read of servants, that they must show all good faithfulness. Titus chapter 2, verse 10. Accordingly, a faithful Christian, no matter how he may stand in a relationship, he considers within himself, what may my Lord Jesus Christ expect of me in this relationship? And he endeavors to conform himself under the expectations of the Lord. Finally, a faithful Christian is a Christian that will own the truths, ways, and cause of the Lord Jesus Christ, no matter what the trouble or hazard of doing so may be. What is a faithful Christian but a faithful witness for the Lord Jesus Christ? A faithful Christian will never deny any of the truths of the Lord Jesus Christ. A faithful Christian will never desert any of the ways of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ has a church and people in the world. A faithful Christian will stick with those people and never betray them or forsake them. Whatever interest of the Lord Jesus Christ calls for the testimony of a Christian, a faithful Christian will openly, zealously, and courageously appear to bear his testimony. We read, Judah was faithful with the saints. Hosea chapter 11, verse 12. Well, what is the meaning of that? There were faithful ministers of God who would not conform to the superstitions established by Jeroboam. These, with other saints of conscientious principle, were kindly entertained by Judah. Judah stood by those nonconformists in Israel. And this is what is meant to be faithful with the saints. Thus are we to be faithful. But how long must we be so? Number two. A faithful Christian must maintain his faithfulness as long as he lives. He must never permit his faithfulness to fail. Faithfulness unto death implies that we must be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ until the very end of our lives. As the faithful man said, I have inclined my heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end. Psalm 119, verse 112. Thus, we must be faithful unto the Lord and the statutes of the Lord, always, even unto the end. A Christian is the perpetual servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has his ear bored for him. He must be faithful unto his Lord until he dies. It was proposed, while I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have my being. Psalm 146, verse 2. Even so, while we live, we must be faithful unto the Lord and serve him faithfully while we have any being. Well, how resolute was he? All the while, my breath is in me, and the Spirit of God is in my nostrils. My lips shall not speak wickedness, nor my tongue utter deceit. Job chapter 27, verses 3 through 4. Thus, while our breath is in us, and the Spirit which God gives us is in our nostrils, there must be nothing within us but faithfulness. We must never deal deceitfully with the Lord. Our song must be, we will serve our Lord in holiness and righteousness and faithfulness before him all the days of our life. I might suppose that the famous Polycarp, the angel of the church in Smyrna, might have had in his mind this very word, be thou faithful unto death, when he so answered those that pressed him to renounce Jesus Christ. I have served my Jesus till I am now 86 years old. That's 86 years old. And I have always found him a good master. I will not now renounce him. He shall be my master as long as I live. Yea. Faithfulness unto death implies that we must be faithful to our Lord Jesus Christ, though it may be with the very loss of our lives. Our faithfulness to the Lord Jesus Christ may cost us dearly. It may cost us all the comforts of our lives. It may cost us our very lives. But we must venture the loss of all and lose our very lives rather than lose our faithfulness. Thus those faithful ones, they loved not their lives unto the death. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. They were willing to part with their lives before the term to which they might have lived by the course of nature. The work we have to do for our Lord Jesus Christ must be dearer to us than our very lives. If our Lord Jesus Christ calls to part with our very lives upon his account, we must be ready to do it. As that faithful man expressed himself, I count not my life dear unto myself, so that I may finish my course with joy. Acts chapter 20, verse 24. Thus we should say, I shall not count my life dear unto myself, if I may but faithfully discharge and finish the work to which my Lord Jesus Christ has called me. Death itself and all the terrors of it must never terrify us from our faithfulness to our Lord Jesus Christ. The faithful said of old, "Our heart is not turned back, neither have our steps declined from the way, though thou hast sore broken us in the place of dragons, and covered us with the shadow of death." Psalm 44, verses 18 through 19. So should we be able to say, though all the dragons in the valley of the shadow of death may seek to sting me to death, yet I will never decline taking any step that my Lord Jesus Christ shall call me to. Now this faithfulness and constancy unto death is demanded by our Lord Jesus Christ. It is demanded that we be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. It is demanded that by patient continuance in well-doing, we seek for eternal life. Romans chapter 2, verse 7. Chrysostom observes on Luke chapter 22, verse 28. The Lord does not promise the kingdom unto those that followed him only, but unto those that continued with him. This demand is infinitely reasonable. Our Lord Jesus Christ was faithful unto death in his appearing for us. And shall we not be faithful unto death in our adhering to him? Go yourself, Christian. Let the end of your race and progress be where Christ placed his, as one of the ancients well expressed it. Our Lord did not give over until he was the finisher of our faith. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Our faithfulness to him must not be finished until we come, as he did, unto the grave, obedient unto death. Philippians chapter 2, verse 8. A man may do much and bear much for the Lord Jesus Christ, but if he is not faithful unto death, it is all thrown away. Galatians chapter 3, verse 4. So many things in vain. It is a rule in the civil law. Factum non dicatur quod non perseverat. That is not done which does not hold. God will not accept a maimed or abridged sacrifice. A faithfulness which is not unto death is a maimed sacrifice. The race is run to no purpose if it is not run to the very goal. Our goal is our death. Indeed, it can be no real faithfulness that is not a lasting faithfulness. A fainting piety is but a feigned piety. Even the heathen could say, "He that ceases to be a friend never was a true friend." He never was a faithful friend unto the Lord Jesus Christ, who is not a constant friend, who does not love him at all times, unto the end of time and beyond all time. And now, if we are thus faithful unto the Lord Jesus Christ, what will be the consequence? Truly there will be a reward, and it is no fault in a Christian to eagerly anticipate the reward. Let us now inquire after it. Roman numeral number 2. Our Lord Jesus Christ has reserved for us a crown of life in the world to come. Oh, the blessedness of the faithful Christian. He is disgraced, reproached, and vilified for his faithfulness. The Lord Jesus Christ has a crown to bestow upon him. He shortens and resigns his life in order to please the Lord Jesus Christ. Life, life shall be his portion. We will proceed step by step unto the consolation. Number one, the faithful Christian shall at last be delivered from all the grievous and heavy things which he may have suffered for his faithfulness. All our sufferings in and for our faithfulness come under the name of death. The faithful Christian shall be brought into a state wherein he shall see no more death. He shall enter into life, and that life will be a state in which he shall see an end of all the adversity which his faithfulness was once encumbered with. We read that God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death. Revelation chapter 21, verse 4. We shall come into a state in which we shall meet with no temptation to weaken our faithfulness. There will be no flesh crying out to us, "Master, spare yourself." There will be no devil shooting his fiery darts at us to discourage us. There will be no messenger of Satan to buffet us, as we read. Thou shalt hide them from the pride of man, from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he has showed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. The Lord preserveth the faithful. Psalm 31, 20 through 21. Hold out, O faithful Christian, for you will shortly be in that strong city of God, where your faithfulness will meet with nothing to dampen it, neither any lust within or any strife without. Yet a little while, and you shall see an end of all that was uneasy to you. Faithful servant, you shall enter into a joy that shall never have an end. Number two, the faithful Christian shall find that his faithfulness will lead him unto a blessedness which is called life, an excellent, yea, an eternal life. It is most certain that our faithfulness to the Lord Jesus Christ will end in endless blessedness. What does that blessedness consist of? In the Old Testament, we have it expressed. I shall behold thy face in righteousness. When I awake, I shall be satisfied with thy likeness. Psalm 17, verse 15. In the New Testament, we have it expressed as such. We know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. That incomparable, incomprehensible blessedness, which is intended for the faithful Christian, will be in the vision of God and of Jesus Christ, and in the image of that glorious Lord, imparted unto him, and in a most intimate communion with the glorious Lord, and in unutterable satisfactions produced by the Spirit of glory, forever possessing of him. This blessedness is called life. And in that name, very precious things are intimated. A faithful man may have his death hastened by his faithfulness. No, his life is not lost. It is not the man, but his sin that dies. Nothing of him dies except that which is his very death. His faithfulness only brings him to a blessedness which is the truest life. The departed soul of a faithful man puts on the garments of light and flies away to a paradise, waiting there in rest and peace, anticipating the resurrection of the dead. Revelation chapter 14, verse 13. There shall at length arrive a resurrection of the dead. Then the faithful man shall receive his body again. His body shall be an incorruptible, agile, and splendid mansion for him. In that body he shall live as a citizen of the heavenly city until the very heavens are no more. When a faithful man dies, it is to live better than he did before. The blessedness will be life, because it will be desirable. It was said, "What man is he who desires life? Indeed, what man is he who does not desire it?" There are few things that we will not part with in order to prolong our life. Men are naturally and generally unwilling to die. Nature is never willing to die. The cry is, life is good. The blessedness intended for us may be well expressed as life, because indeed it is better than life. Psalm 63, verse 3. And the blessedness will be life, because it will be durable. It will endure. It will be everlasting. A living thing may die, but life can never die. We shall see life and never anything but life. Our blessedness will be life, because it will be an eternal glory. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. Number 3. After all his faithfulness, the faithful Christian shall be rewarded and advanced, even as with the crown of an illustrious conqueror. The reward of the faithful Christian will be a crown, even a crown of righteousness. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. This is to tell us that a very high advancement shall be the reward of the faithful Christian. There is no higher advancement put forth among the ambitious children of men than that of coming to a crown. The faithful Christian may meet with much reproach and much contempt in the world. If any man will be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ and his churches, that man shall hear the defaming of many. Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 10. Those that grievously revolt from the Lord Jesus Christ will slander against the faithful champions of the Lord, even as it was complained, "When I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, that was to my reproach." Psalm 69, verse 10. If, in a most holy manner, the faithful servants of God are praying and fasting before the Lord on behalf of his churches. Men that are full of Satan will invent something of reproach against them. Be patient, O faithful ones. God intends an inconceivable advancement for you. You shall come to that advancement, to be kings and priests for God, and reign over the earth. Revelation chapter 5, verse 10. The faithful shall be highly advanced when they shall sit on thrones in the heavenly places with the Lord Jesus Christ, and they shall have power given them over the nations of the earth to rule them. They shall be highly advanced when they shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. Daniel chapter 12, verse 3. And as the stars, and be employed in turning many to righteousness. They shall be highly advanced when they are companions of angels, and are raised out of the dust, and are set with those princes and nobles. And they shall indeed be the angels, the rulers and teachers of the saved nations. Oh, how highly advanced they shall be when all their faithful endeavors and achievements will be proclaimed with honor in the city of God. The streets of that great city shall doubtless have the instances of our faithfulness published in them. Excuse me. And those things will be done to us, which must be done to the men whom the King of Heaven delights to honor. Well, why so? Because the faithful Christian shall then be considered as a conqueror. A crown of gold was a prize after a combat, the reward of a combat. We read of those who run and strive in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25. They do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. This will be one thing in the reward of a faithful Christian when he comes to lay hold upon eternal life. It shall be openly acknowledged. Excuse me. This man has gotten the victory. Unto many a combat was this man called in his time. He fought with the flesh, the world, and the devil. He battled unknown vexations and confusions. But he has been victorious over all. O ye saints, O ye angels, glorify, glorify that grace that made him so. The faithful unto death are all overcomers. They meet with many things to divert and distract them from the work which the Lord Jesus Christ has called them to. They overcome all obstructions. They overcome the tempters, all the while holding fast to their integrity. And this will be acknowledged with most glorious praises when the crown of life shall be put upon their heads. We shall then be crowned in our triumphs among those that are conquerors and more than conquerors through him that has loved us. Romans chapter 8, verse 37. It will not be a crown of laurel or a garland that will fade and die. No, it will be a crown of life. Our honor among the blessed conquerors will be a living and lasting honor. It shall not be said of us, bring in honor, they abide not. No, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4. But From whom? Number four, the crown of life, which is to be the reward of our faithfulness, will be the gift of our Lord Jesus Christ unto us. Our crown comes to us as a gift. We do not deserve anything for our faithfulness. By our faithfulness, we cannot ever deserve a crown. We never earned a crumb, much less can we earn a crown. After all our faithfulness and fruitfulness, we must confess, Lord, we have been unprofitable servants. Luke chapter 17, verse 10. We read in Romans chapter 8, verse 18. I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed. And upon a due reckoning, we shall find that there is no proportion between our faithfulness in all our sufferings of this present time and the glory of the crown of life that shall be conferred. Though death is the wages of our sinfulness, yet eternal life is not the wages of our faithfulness. No, it is the gift of God. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. One of the best men that New England ever saw, our famous Thomas Hooker, upon being told while lying on his deathbed, "Sir, you are going to receive the reward of all your faithful services," he made this fit reply, "Brother, I am going to receive mercy." It is mercy that gives the crown unto the faithful. The crown of justice is a crown of mercy as well. This gift comes from our Lord Jesus Christ. Indeed, no person in the Godhead is excluded from the glory of giving us our crown of glory. If every good gift comes from God, surely this gift, the crown of life, must come from Him. Yet, our Lord Jesus Christ is very particularly concerned in giving the crown unto the faithful Christian. It is the Prince of Life who gives the crown of life. It is He that says, "To him that overcometh, I will grant to sit with me in my throne." Revelation chapter 3, verse 21. Our Lord Jesus Christ has purchased us the crown of life by His death. It is a crown of vast value. All the crowns of all the monarchs under heaven are but vile caps and rags when compared with the crown of life. And our Lord Jesus Christ has paid a price for the crown. Yea, though it is worth more than heaven and earth, we may say that our Lord Jesus Christ has paid for the crown as much as it is worth, for He paid for it with His own precious blood. He bore a cross that we might have a crown. He bore a crown of thorns that we may wear a crown of life. And our Lord Jesus Christ, as mediator, has all dominion in His hands. He is the one who bestows the crown, for the crown of life is at His disposal. He may cause whomever He pleases to inherit the throne of glory. Our Lord Jesus Christ has all power in heaven and earth given unto Him, including this power of giving the crown of life and bringing to heaven those that follow Him. God has given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life wherever he is pleased to give it. Christians, we must cast all our crowns at the feet of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is he that sets our crowns on our heads. If we have the crown of life, it is from him. And so also, if we are crowned with health, wealth, wit, grandeur, or virtue, thine, O Lord, is the glory, and it all comes from thee. Let us now make our inferences. Use of application. Roman numeral number 1. Are faithful ones predestined to a crown of life? Then we owe our good esteem to the faithful ones. Whenever we see any person who is faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ, we may say to ourselves, that person is an heir of a crown. The Lord Jesus Christ will one day bestow a crown of life upon that person. By necessity, to load such a person with injuries must be displeasing to the Lord he belongs to and whom he serves with faithfulness. All that love the Lord Jesus Christ ought also to love those that serve him faithfully. Those persons whom the Lord Jesus Christ will crown, certainly we ought also to love. Our Lord Jesus Christ says, mine eyes shall be on the faithful of the land. Psalm 101, verse 6. The people of the Lord Jesus Christ should say so as well. And when they that are faithful unto death are taken away from the land by death, it becomes us to look after them with mournful and weeping eyes, as we do this day after our Wigglesworth. It becomes us to lament after them and say, the faithful, the faithful, the chariots of the Lord and the horsemen thereof. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 11 through 12. Roman numeral number 2. Shall those that are faithful to death receive a crown of life? Well, then the faithful have no cause to be afraid of death. An eminent person, condemned to die, began his letter to his friend upon it so, condemnatus sum ad vitam, a sentence of life is passed upon me. A martyr, coming to the stake, there kneeled down and cried out, welcome, everlasting life. Let us learn to welcome death when God's time for our day of death arrives. May we view it as an inlet into everlasting life. A faithful man could say, to me, to die is gain. Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. What? Reluctant to gain? Will you be afraid to receive a crown of life? It is not a grave, but a crown that is before you. The grave that you have such fear of will be but a sepultura laborum, vitiorum, et lacrimarum, the grave of your labors, sins, and tears. To bury these is to live. It is life in the sweetest relish of it. Faithful Christian, you have mastered everything else. All that now remains is to likewise master your aversion to death Oh, be not uneasy at the approach of death. As the faithful man said, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 through 8. Thus, when they feel death approaching, the faithful may think with an ecstasy of gladness. I have, according to my poor measure, faithfully served my Lord Jesus Christ. O Lord, I beseech thee, remember now how I have walked before you with some sincerity and fidelity. And now I am going into that world where my Lord Jesus Christ will show me that I had no reason to regret adhering to him. O ye chosen, called, and faithful, you have no way to come to your crown but by death. And the last words of our Wigglesworth were, we must die, we must die, that we may enter into rest. Roman numeral number 3. It is plain that we shall not be losers by our faithfulness to our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, let us make it the great prayer and care of our lives that we may be faithful unto death. We read in Proverbs chapter 28, verse 20, a faithful man shall abound with blessings. In the abundance of blessings that will reward us, can we not see an abundance of motives to be very faithful? Surely in a crown of everlasting life, there is an abundance of blessings. Dreadful, dreadful must be the death of those that are not faithful to the interests of our Lord Jesus Christ. If a crown of life shall be given unto the faithful, what shall be given unto you, O soul, that is false unto the Lord? What indeed but a death inflicted by the sharp arrows of the Almighty, a damnation worse than lying among coals of juniper? Not a crown of life, but chains of everlasting darkness. Terrible, very terrible, will be the punishment of deserters. How terribly it thunders. If any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. No pleasure. The meaning is that the soul of the Lord will be infinitely displeased with him. The crown of the faithful will be life. The doom of the fearful will be in the lake of the wrath of God. Oh, be fearful of incurring such a doom. It was bewailed, the faithful fail from among the children of men. Psalm 12, verse 1. Let faithfulness be desired by us. Lord, do not let me fail to be found among your faithful children. Therefore, be prayerful, O Christian, that you may be faithful. We read of one that has obtained the mercy of the Lord to be faithful. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 25. Faithfulness is a mercy to be asked of the Lord. And then to supplication, join meditation. Think often about the privileges and capacities which your Lord Jesus Christ has entrusted to you. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Remember that we are merely stewards of all that we have. and then be full of earnest thoughts of how to acquit ourselves with faithfulness in our stewardship. Again, think often. What special interest of my Lord Jesus Christ now calls for a special witness from me? We read about a faithful witness, Proverbs 14, verse 5. The kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ sometimes is most opposed in one article and sometimes in another. Our faithfulness must be manifest in our bearing witness to the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ in that article where imprudent men are most busy at undermining it. Let us fall in there, though we may greatly expose ourselves in doing so. The crown of life will make amends for all. Roman numeral number 4. Finally, let us tread in the steps of those that have been faithful. It was of old said, a faithful man, who can find? Proverbs 20, verse 6. Some faithful men have been found. We have lately lost such a one. Such a one was our Wigglesworth, who had a good report of all men. He carried himself with such a faithful demeanor that no man, except by lying, could speak evil of him. Because it may contribute to the finding of more, I shall give you a short account of his faithfulness and proclaim his goodness. But as it is more reasonable, my account shall be given with the most accurate and unspotted faithfulness. I may truly affirm concerning him that faithfulness was the very thing that remarkably characterized and distinguished him. He descended from eminently religious parents who suffered greatly for that which was then the cause of God and New England. While he was yet a youth, he was marvelously concerned that he might have a heart filled with the Spirit of God. This concern appeared especially in his watchful endeavors to have spiritual sins chased out of his cleansed heart. Pride, the sin of young men, yea, of all men, pride, this sin which few men try or trouble themselves about. This devout youth was full of holy and watchful trouble about it. He wrote a very edifying discourse entitled Considerations Against Pride, and another entitled Considerations Against Delighting More in the Creature Than in God. This was to mortify in himself the sins rarely minded by the majority of men. Having had a pious and learned education, the first public station in which I find him was that of a fellow and tutor at Harvard College. And with what rare faithfulness did he adorn the station! He used all the means imaginable to make his pupils not only good scholars, but also good Christians, and to instill into them those things which might render them rich blessings unto the churches of God. Unto his watchful and careful endeavors to keep them rigorous under their academic exercises, he added serious admonitions unto them about their interior state, and, as I find in his reserved papers, he employed his prayers and tears to God for them, and had such a flaming zeal to make them worthy men that, upon reflection, he was afraid lest his cares for their good and his affection to them should so drink up his very spirit as to steal away his heart from God. This star moved from Cambridge until he came to dispense his sweet influences upon you, O Malden. And he was your faithful one for about a jubilee of years together. It was not long after his coming to Malden that a sickly constitution so prevailed upon him as to confine him from his public work for 7 years. His faithfulness continued when his ministry was thus interrupted. The kindness of his tender flock unto him was answered in his kind concern to have them served by other hands. He took a short voyage to another country for the recovery of his health, which, though he did not recover it, yet at his return I find him comforting himself by the insertion of this passage in his reserved papers. Perhaps the Lord removed me for a season so that he might set a better watchman over this, his flock, and a more painful laborer in his vineyard. This was one thing that I aimed at in removing, to help the people's modesty in the case, and I believe the Lord aimed at it also, in removing me for a season. His faithfulness now appeared in his edifying discourses, a thing in which he was very careful and fruitful. He bewailed the lack of a profitable and religious way of living in so many that profess religion. And in order that he might yet more faithfully set himself to do good when he could not preach, he wrote several poems. In his poetry, he edified his readers by truths dressed up in a plain meter. His poems have enjoyed widespread acceptance and advantage, and one of them, The Day of Doom, has been often reprinted in both Englands. Perhaps it may find our children until the day itself arrives. When the distresses of the church in Malden called for it, it pleased God to wondrously restore his faithful servant. He that had been for near 20 years almost buried alive come abroad again, and for as many years more must, in a public usefulness, receive the answer and harvest of the thousands of supplications with which the God of his health had been addressed by him and for him. How faithfully did he now deliver the whole counsel of God? How faithfully did he rebuke sin, both in his ministry and in his discipline? How faithful was he to the work of God in the churches of New England, and grieved by everything that he thought had any tendency to disturb that glorious work? But how patient, how loving, how charitable he was to those who in lesser matters differed from him. Of this faithfulness you are all witnesses. How faithful was he in the education of his family? He was as Abraham for his commands unto his family to keep the way of the Lord. Genesis chapter 18, verse 19. A very David for his charges unto them to know the God of their fathers and serve him. 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 9. His long weakness and illness made him an able physician. He studied medicine and was a faithful physician for the body as well as the soul. God made him a successful physician and a beloved one. His flock loved him for these things. Your love showed itself when a dangerous fit of sickness was upon him about 7 years ago. You came together with agony. You prayed, fasted, and wept before the Lord with public supplications for his life. God heard you. God loves to hear such prayers. God spared him unto you. For you, and he's speaking to the congregation, for you had him among you 7 years more. As he was faithful to death, so he was lively to death. He earnestly desired that he might remain useful to the end. And God granted him his desire, a desire seldom denied to those that are so insistent upon it. It was a surprise to us to see a little feeble shadow of a man beyond 70 years of age preaching 2 or 3 times a week, visiting and comforting the afflicted, encouraging private meetings, catechizing the children of his flock, managing the government of the church, and attending the sick, not only as a pastor, but as a physician too. And this not only in his own town, but also in those nearby. Thus he did unto the last, and he only missed 1 Lord's Day before his last. But in the last week of his life, how full of resignation, how full of satisfaction. Sirs, his instruction must live with you, though he is dead. Yea, and his example too, his holy example, the example of his holiness and faithfulness. From his exemplary life, I will single out 1 thing in particular to impress upon you. That 1 thing is his early religion. Oh, that the young ones of the flock would follow their aged pastor in this amiable and admirable excellency, his early religion. I have heard of the superstition, buzzed by Satan into the minds of children, that if they feared God, sought Christ, and zealously made sure of heaven early, they would not live long upon the earth. And even if this were so, certainly heaven is better than earth. But this is a foolish superstition. Our Wigglesworth was a godly child, and he kept on living for God and Christ until the 74th year of his age. When he lay dying, some spoke to him about his having secured his interest in the favor of heaven, and his assurance of that interest. To this he replied, "I bless God that I began that work early, and before I was 20 years old, I had made thorough work of it. And ever since that time, I have been pressing after the power of godliness." The power of godliness! For more than 50 years, I have been laboring to uphold a life of communion with God, and I thank the Lord. I now find the comfort of it. And these words contain in them a history of his life, which is more valuable than I have seen printed in any book. Follow your pastor as he followed our Savior. Then all you that have been brought nearer to God by his faithful ministry will one day meet him in the city of God. Oh, joyful meeting, when he shall say, "Blessed be God that ever I spoke to those people." And you shall say, "Blessed be God that ever I heard the voice of that man." All that I will add is this: may our ascended and glorious Lord bestow another such gift upon his dear people here. For death has taken from us a dear friend, a wise counselor, and a strong helper.